The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I'm a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I will be discussing the Sobeck Prize given to the physician scientist for work in progressive MS. The 2020 Sobeck Research Prize has been given to Alan J. Thompson, MD, a physician scientist with the University College London, for his pioneering work in progressive multiple sclerosis, the National MS Society announced. The prize is jointly awarded by the German National MS Society and the MS Society of Baden-Württemberg. Totaling $123,000, it is currently the highest in Europe and possibly worldwide, AMSL reports, and is given to investigators in recognition of their major contributions to the MS field. Thompson, a professor and dean of the Faculty of Brain Sciences at University College London, has worked to improve ways of treating and diagnosing those with progressive MS forms. He was a pioneer in establishing the typical clinical features of primary progressive MS and played a key role in the implementation of MRI as a diagnostic and prognostic disease tool. Thompson also contributed to the development of several non-pharmaceutical interventions now in use to ease disease symptoms, including rehabilitation therapies, and with colleagues helped to improve the McDonald diagnostic criteria used by clinicians worldwide to identify the disease. He also contributed to developing measures for mobility, spasticity, pain, and other disease characteristics. His more recent research has focused on understanding the mechanisms underlying brain damage in PPMS. Thompson has been a part of multiple scientific boards and committees, and currently is a leading member of the International Progressive MS Alliance. The Alliance, a worldwide collaborative supported by 19 MS societies, aims to accelerate research into the development and treatments for progressive forms of MS. As far as treatments are concerned, we're really very good at stopping MS attacks. We're very good at stopping relapses, but it is much more difficult to stop or delay progression, to actually target neurodegeneration, and that is partly because we don't fully understand it, Thompson said in an interview with AMSL. According to Thompson, a main reason for the Alliance's establishment was to prod MS research and treatment efforts into progressive disease. Its founding aim was to bring progressive MS center stage, to raise the profile, he said. We wanted to make it the focus for our clinical colleagues and research colleagues. Building on that, we wanted to bring people internationally. You need the best brains in the world, and you need them to come together and focus on these goals. Progressive MS is no longer thought of as untreatable, but current therapies have only a moderate effect. Research, he continued, now needs to focus on treatments that really target progression, and by that, I mean treatments that target repair, remyelination, and treatments that target neuroprotection. That has to be the main focus of the Alliance and indeed of the MS community, he said, concluding that there is today huge hope for people with progressive MS. Thompson was also honored in 2017 with the John Distel Prize for Multiple Sclerosis Research, given by the U.S. National MS Society, which also recognizes a scientist for outstanding contributions in the field of MS.
Coming up next, perspectives from MS News Today columnist Jesse Ace.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. so it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hey everyone, my name is Jessie Ace, and I'm one of the columnists for MS News Today. I'll be reading one of my articles from my Disabled to Enabled series.
Can taking a break from tech reduce my fatigue? What would happen if you switched off all your devices just for a day? Phones, tablets, laptops, TVs, all of them, just switch them all off. Could you do it? How would it feel? What would you do instead? My husband suggested we try a tech-free Saturday a few weeks ago. We all suspect our phones are bad for our brains, which probably doesn't help our MS symptoms. So I decided to give it a try, and we had our first tech-free Saturday with the mission of taking back control in a chaotic world. Tip, it helps if your entire household agrees to this, otherwise it can become distracting and kind of pointless to do it alone. On Friday night, we notified our families, switched off our phones, and put our tablets out of sight and our laptops in their bags. We put all our devices in a cupboard out of the way, out of sight, out of mind. What happened next was interesting. On Saturday morning, I woke up and realised that my phone wasn't in its normal charging port downstairs. I tried to figure out what was next. I'm the type of person who likes to wake up to a plan, and I purposely didn't make one this time. At first, I had no idea what to do with myself. It was so weird. We rely on our devices so much, far more than we realise. My regular Saturday morning consists of a 15 to 30 minute yoga session on my favourite channel, Yoga with Adrian. Then, after making a decaf tea, I'll snuggle up on the sofa, maybe watch a food programme or an episode of Modern Family on Netflix. After that, I'd probably find a recipe online, bake something. Spotify is usually playing on my laptop all day, as we don't have a TV. And I'll draw, I'll sleep, I'll walk the dog. And normally I'll walk the dog alone because my husband is normally busy doing something else. So throughout the day, I'd be Googling every question that pops into my head. You know, like, do dogs feel the cold? What language is spoken in Brazil? Or how do I make gypsy cake? I knew I couldn't search for recipes online on a tech-free Saturday, so I opened up one of my gazillion recipe books. I had also ordered a new self-help book called You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero, which is a great book. I was ready. Rather than turning on a radio that plays news every half an hour, which I find super irritating so I don't listen to the news, I dusted off our jukebox CD player and started working through all of our old CDs from when we were teenagers. We even played our collection of 1950s rock and roll CDs that we bought at some long gone January sale that never made it out of the box. I picked up my new book and read it for like a couple of hours. I drew for the next couple of hours, and then when my husband finally woke up, we sat and spoke to each other. We played random board games, reminisced about the memories that the music prompted. Our dog Lucy got a really long walk with the both of us, because there wasn't much else to do, and it was a beautiful day. We played with her more too. Our ideas started flowing. My husband wrote out several frameworks for his business, and I had ideas for so many illustrations. By the end of the day, I felt so energetic that I didn't want the day to end. Maybe my phone was causing me more fatigue than I realised. Being unsearchable for 24 hours was a kind of weird freedom, and I know it's not for everyone, and some people just need that interaction. But for me though, it worked brilliantly to have a break for just one day. Waking up on Sunday morning knowing that the tech-free day was over, I felt really hesitant to use my devices again. I didn't want technology to suck me back in. I enjoyed feeling so much freedom for 24 hours. We've decided to do it every week in our house now. We get a special dinner as a treat and spend time together as a family, just playing games, listening to music, and thinking up crazy ideas. Tech-free Saturdays are now a go-to thing. One important note though, make sure to tell those close to you about your tech-free day before you do it, so that they don't think something has happened to you. Our experience was like the ultimate self-care activity. I recommend challenging yourself by giving it a try. See if you can do it and see how it affects your energy levels. It's an interesting experiment.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.